millions of women in business that are crushing it. And I mean, seriously, crushing it. Some who you know and many who you've never even heard of. They're going to share how they did it so you can figure out how you can do it too. But here's the deal. It's not just about sales and selling. So I'm going to be bringing you the woo too. Get ready, get set, because it's almost go time for Women Crush Wednesday. Diehards, I am pleased to be here today live with Shelly Henderson. She's the co-founder of Henderson Properties, along with her husband, Phil. She manages the full-service real estate company's corporate culture and branding via content marketing and social media strategies. And she's a public speaker and author of the book, Starting From Scratch. Check it out. Oh, yeah, yeah. Into your book. But before we go there, tell me about your background. Like, what were you doing before you started this real estate company?
Okay. So I have done just a few things, not a ton of things. I went to school to be a teacher. So I was a teacher in Charlotte, Mecklenburg for about 6 years. After that, I decided that I should dabble in my golfing experience that I had. And I wrote about this in the book. So I did that. Save the details for reading. So I did that for a year. And then, you know, Phil and I were like, we want to own our own business. What do we want to do? We were still working and at our sales jobs and my teaching job. And I don't know, it kind of evolved into what we were doing as a hobby into a career.
Wow. Well, I always say that teachers make the best salespeople because you have a knack for being able to transfer your message. Yeah. And you have that ability in a way that most people just don't.
Yeah.
But you have to do it as a teacher every day with your kids or they're going to go home not understanding whatever it was
Absolutely.
You were teaching.
Yes.
And so it's the same thing in sales. How do you feel that your teaching background helped you when you were building this business?
You know, several different things. So like what you said about giving the message and speaking in front of people and, you know, teachers have to lead. They have to lead in the classroom. They have to lead by example. They have to lead their lesson plan. And so those types of strategies really did help me come to where we are today with our business. And I even use the teaching skills that I have with my staff and have written a leadership curriculum that I share with them. And we do book studies and we have your book at the office.
Love it.
I know, I know. And so, you know what? Just it has really helped me. So I say to people that when you go to college, if you're not doing exactly what you thought you were going to do in college, you can still implement it.
Yeah, for sure.
You can
still use those skills in some other way. So I bet you never envisioned starting a real estate company and using those teacher and leadership skills.
Not one second.
So
no, I didn't.
Tell us more about the leadership program that you put together, because that's really interesting. It seems like you started it from scratch.
No pun intended.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, about 2-3 years ago, my life was evolving. Let's go back. I'll say 5 years ago. 5 years ago, my first son graduated high school and he was going to college. And just like any parent, especially moms, we just feel like, I've put all my eggs in this basket. It's been 18 years. What am I going to do? And I really started to think about what does my life look like and how is it going to look like when this child is gone? And, you know, I felt so compelled not to just be at home doing, I don't want to say doing nothing, but you know what? Yes, there has to be laundry. Somebody has to do the laundry. Somebody has to cook. Somebody has to run errands.
That reminds me, I have laundry to do.
See, it never ends.
I know.
So why sit home and do it? So I was like, heck with this. No, I there's something else out there bigger. So I started kind of, you know, doing a lot of the emotional intelligence thinking and positivity and we were rebranding our business and our culture. And I decided, you know what? If we are going to rebrand and do things differently, it has to start with me. And so I wrote the curriculum and I asked for volunteers at the office and had to turn some people away temporarily. And it just started.
That's amazing. So what are some of the things you feel you changed when you say it started with me? What did you change in terms of your new leadership capacity?
So one thing that I changed, and I know I can speak for Phil too, if he were here, he would say the same thing. We changed the way that we thought about things, the way that we thought about our policies and procedures, and wanted to step outside the box. We wanted to educate ourselves in the industry more. We wanted to surround ourselves with people that were smarter than us and that knew more. Phil and I joined different business groups. We were just hungry to learn how to do it better and do things smarter and not harder. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to work 100 hours a week to be successful. I used to think that, you know, I used to think, oh, you got to put in your, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours, but no, you can do things differently. And so we really, at Henderson Properties, we really try to do things differently. And this year we've changed some of our core values and even added one that says we like to have fun.
I love it.
I know.
One of our core values is pee outside, but that's mainly for the dogs.
See, you have to have too.
I mean, but that shows like our playfulness, you know, so
that's right. Yeah. That's right. And you know, we can't take ourselves too seriously, right? I mean, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes, whether that's personally or professionally, but as long as we're intentional.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So you decide to put in this leadership program. And what were some of the struggles you came about? Because all of a sudden now the team is being led in a different way. Did they have any resistance to it?
You know, I think in general, most people don't like change, right? Mm-hmm. You know, myself included. It's very hard to accept change. Especially if you don't, maybe you haven't bought into it and it's foreign to you and your way of thinking. But when it's gradual, I think it gives people an opportunity to see. For an example, there were a lot of comments, or I don't want to say complaints, but we'll say complaints. Complaints about our last office space didn't have enough windows. We needed new carpet. We needed more space. So guess what we did? We bought and renovated a much bigger office with so many windows. You can see the leaves blowing in the
wind. Send them to New York City for one day and see how close people sit. If I – like this is how close we're sitting right now is how close our desks could be in New York. And literally, like, wow. If I get a cold, that means you're about to get a cold.
Wow.
Like,
see?
Yeah.
We're spoiled here. See, we're spoiled.
I know.
We're spoiled.
People don't understand space.
Well, so that was one thing. Like, you know, and then sometimes what do you think happens? So we upped and moved everyone and then, oh my gosh, you know, it's a new space. I don't know if I want to move.
Yeah.
But, you know, it all worked out great. So I think if you just are open, and that's what we constantly coach our staff, just to be open to the possibility of doing things better and learning and growing, because we feel that while everybody is searching for the work-life balance out there, not sure there is such a thing, but that ebbs and flows just like everything else. So, you know, just be open to the possibility of meeting new people, open to the possibility of, you know, learning, because you might learn something and that you didn't know before.
Yeah. And it may change your life forever.
Right. Yeah.
So I think we're talking about this concept of change. And I think that the reason there's so much resistance to it or fear around it is often because there's fear of the unknown. It's sort of like,
yes.
I know what I've got, but I have no idea how that could impact me. And a lot of times if people aren't working on their mindset, they immediately go negative.
Yes.
And so they're thinking about all the worst things that could happen that will likely never happen.
Yes.
But so how do you lead your team in a way so that you can help them prevent that thinking?
Okay, that's a great question, Jen, because we have a staff of 70 people at Henderson Properties, and we do different things. We're a full-service real estate firm, so we have 5 different divisions that do different things, okay? So the big wheel is turning, and all the pieces have to turn with it. And we have adapted a culture now that we are doing a lot of EOS.
What's EOS?
EOS is, again, it's sort of like emotional intelligence, but it's a formula of how to work together in a team setting. So each department has weekly meetings. They have challenges that they list. We call them rocks. They share successes, whether that's on a personal level or a professional level. And so it's interesting because not everybody wants to open up. Not everybody wants to share good news. Mm-hmm. Not everyone wants to share negative news. Whereas somebody like me, I'm an open book. I'll tell you whatever you want to know. And that's been interesting to learn about different people and how they react and don't react. So, but with that said, so how we are trying to do that is get people out of their comfort zone, because we can't grow. I'm telling you the truth. I'm 110% sure because I've lived it. You cannot grow personally, professionally, unless you are willing to get outside of your own way.
I've been working with entrepreneurs who are seriously working their ass off, working from early in the morning till late at night, and they don't stop, and they want to make the money, and they feel like that if you don't work all the time, you're not going to create the business or the revenue that you want. You got into this entrepreneur thing because you want to create financial freedom, but you also want to create life freedom. I get it. You need to go to cashflowtoceo.com. I teach simple and proven strategies that work. How to create a rock solid client attraction formula that brings in quality leads. How to provide value the smart way so you can turn cold leads into paying clients faster. I help you learn what kind of value you need to give. How to price your products. How to be confident in selling your products. If this sounds like something that can help you, go to cashflowtoceo.com or click the link in the show notes. I'll see you there. Let's open your book. How does starting from scratch play a role in everything you're doing at Henderson Properties?
Well, we like to say that every day is a new day and every day is an opportunity to start from scratch.
Ooh, mic drop. I love that.
Okay, I'm going now.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Okay. Every day's a new day.
Every day's a new day because guess what? We deal with, like I said, a lot of moving parts. A lot of times people are not happy when our phone rings because they don't understand something, whether it's on the HOA side or it's August and it's 95 degrees and their air conditioning breaks and we can't get out until Friday, and they have 3 days of inconvenience. I get it. So with that said, we have to just constantly reiterate to whether it's the client or the staff member, you know what, everybody's doing the best they can. And one of our staff members said something to me recently. It was perfect. He said, every time the phone rings, it's like a 911 call. And where we are there to help them through it, mm-hmm. and to assist them and to make their emergency not an emergency.
Yeah.
And if you look at it like that, I don't know. I mean, I think it's great. I think we all have the ability to turn a situation around.
Yeah. And help them start from scratch.
Help them start from scratch.
Yeah. Okay. So can we put this theory to a test?
Let's do it.
All right. So I'm a salesperson, and I just found out that I didn't get my $100,000 deal that I thought was going to seal the deal on my quota this month. Now what? How do I start fresh tomorrow? I'm pissed off.
All right. Well, let's be honest, because I am an open book. So you have to mourn that.
Okay.
You have to mourn that.
Okay.
Because if it's really the done deal and it's over and there's no going back, my opinion is that you do need to mourn that, whether you need to go have a drink or a pedicure or call your mom and cry. You know, you just got to get
for
it out.
For me, it's probably a float. For others, it's a martini. Priorities.
Or two or three.
Yeah, or three.
You know, or maybe you got to pet the dog. I mean, yeah. You know, just go have some quiet time. All right. So take time to do that. Take time to, you know, process it, mourn it, be mad. I think we have to be very real with all those emotions. But you know what? When the sun comes up the next day, it is a new day to start over. And with that said, starting over means you have to find out, why did you lose that deal? And here's key. You have to be willing to accept responsibility.
Okay. So first, it sounds like it's like a three-step process. Yeah. So you mourn it, you forgive yourself, you forgive them, whatever you need to do to get over it, beyond it. Then you learn your lesson, like figure out what can I find from this? Yeah. What can I learn from this? And then you say, okay, now that I've learned the lesson, here's how I'm going to accept responsibility so that it doesn't happen again in the future.
That's right. Because I just read something this week. I like to start my day off with a little inspiration. We shouldn't be afraid of our weaknesses because those weaknesses will make us stronger.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that people are afraid of their weaknesses. They're so afraid that
to
on
fail.
The interview, uh-huh. You know, on the normal interview question is like, well, tell me your biggest weakness. And people are like, I'm a perfectionist. No, dude, that's not your weakness.
It might be. We could turn that around.
I mean, but like, because, I'm sorry, it's cliche.
That might not be a good trade.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. People try to make the strengths their weaknesses. And so it's like, but what really is your weakness? And
exactly.
Why are you afraid of it?
And if we know what our weaknesses are, and we know when they kind of, you know, creep into our lives, maybe we can build on that and make ourselves better for it. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's all about the learning, you know, continuing ed. You should expect to make that business deal every time, no mm-hmm. doubt. I mean, mm-hmm. expect to win it. And when you don't, own up to it and figure out what it is that kept you from getting that deal.
So sometimes people will say they need more than one night to get over it. Are you saying that, look, the sun has risen?
Yep.
And now is that time?
I'm going to give you one day. I'm going to give you 24 hours.
Okay.
Because I think the longer that we wallow in it, mm-hmm. the longer mm-hmm. it's going to take us to recover.
Ooh. Is it like a day for a day kind of thing?
Oh, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe 2 days. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah. And so, okay, how did you come up with this? Was this something that you started to say when your son went to college? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were going through
Jen, I'll be honest. I was going through a bad time. No, I'm not going to lie. I'm an open book. I was going through a bad time. And it was just really self-reflection. And it was it was too much of woe is me. And at the end of the day, I had to own up to my weaknesses about, okay, this is not about me, mm-hmm. really. I mean, it sort of is, but it's really not about me. We have children and they do grow up. That's a fact.
Yeah.
You know, we can't hold them back. So right. They do grow up. But what I am starting to educate other people on too in some of my talks is what does your life look like? Because if you surround yourself with one thing your whole life, whether that's your job or your kids or your spouse, if something happens or, you know, they do grow up and leave, where does that leave you?
Mm.
Where does that leave you? So if you surround yourself, your whole identity in that one business deal and you lose that deal.
Now what?
Now what?
Yeah.
Now what?
And so how do you think people should go about really understanding their identity?
Interesting. Okay, Jen, that is evolving. We should not, we don't know the answer to that question immediately.
All right, we will cut it.
But here's the good part.
Yeah.
Every day gives us a day to learn about that. And I think that as we grow and evolve as people. And, you know, with age comes wisdom. And I really think that it is true at certain points in our life, we can accept things that maybe we didn't couldn't accept 10 mm-hmm. years ago or 5 years ago. And, you know, it's really true. After 40, you start to not care so much about opinions or what people think, or, you know, because you start to do things for yourself.
Well, for an old soul, so I started that young.
Well, you are ahead of the game, because believe me, some of us are still trying not to get our feelings hurt.
Oh, it's hard. I get it. But that's the thing. Like, you can't take things personally, right?
That's right.
So, okay, so you have this concept of starting from scratch, and I love that. And I think it's a really good concept for all of you diehards out there to think about, whether you win the deal or you lose the deal. And you can celebrate if you win, sure, but don't get too egotistical about it. Like, the next day is starting from scratch and building a new relationship and figuring out new ideas and new ways of making more sales.
Right. You know, it's kind of like, I love football, so we're in football season now. When your team scores a touchdown, celebrate it, but guess what? Now we got to go back and do it again.
Yep.
So same thing with that business deal. Celebrate it or mourn that loss, but either way, get up and you got to go do it again.
Just for the record, that was the best football analogy ever said on Sell or Die, because it's the only one I've ever understood. Usually they go like right over my head and they're talking about actual people whose names I've never even heard of or don't give a shit about. And I'm like, you guys have all lost me.
No.
So thank you for breaking it down.
Hey, I can break it down. I can't tell you players' names and numbers, but
good.
You know, I can break it down for you. But yeah, so, you know, either way, win or lose, you still got to do it again.
Yeah, for sure. So talk to me about your involvement in the company's social media platform.
All right. So, you know, as we progress in this age of technology, we realized again about 5 years ago when I started writing the book and, well, I started talking about writing the book and I finally got around to it. So we knew that in the business world, you do have to keep up with the times. Mm-hmm. So we have upgraded our technology. We have upgraded our business environment, meaning having the new office space. And so we realized, all right, listen, we have to do more than just have a website,
mm-hmm.
right? You mm-hmm. know, we have to be visual. That's where people see you. They see you on social media platforms, whether it's Facebook, whatever, Twitter, Instagram. And so we amped it up. And now we have a team. We have a social media team and who helps us and who brings to our attention different things that we should do. And at that point, I realized just how much work it really is. I mean, honestly, mm-hmm. it could take you a half a day to do it right.
Oh, yeah. I know. You know? It's a dedicated mm-hmm. person oftentimes. And so have you learned any, like, secrets to success on social media and building a following?
I feel like people really, they like to have that connection and they like to yes. have that feeling of that they know you mm-hmm. and they, but with that said, sometimes it does create like a false persona, you know, of, which could be good in the sales world. Cause you know, they, oh, you're doing great things and you're, you know, mm-hmm. everything's going great and everybody's so happy.
I think people want to know that you're real though. Like, I think, like, my most engaged posts are when I'm open and raw about something that's, like, just going on in my life that other people can relate to versus the, like, yeah, I did it again. Success.
I know. You know? Like, I know. And that's the part that I struggle with, because I want to put myself out there on a personal level more so that they could see that. But I also wonder, do they really want to see that, or are people just really interested in all that you've got going on the positive side? But just like with that business deal that might not work out, with the positive does come negative.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So what do you think are some mistakes that companies make when they're building a brand then?
Well, a few things that we have made mistakes in.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to share those. do not hire just to hire.
Okay.
That is number one. We consider ourselves a small business. We have 70 employees, and then we have a staff of realtors who are contract laborers. So, you know, we probably have maybe 76 total. I think you're still considered a small business until you have 100 employees. But that's number one. Key number one, do not hire just to hire because you need a warm body in the seat.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you hire the right person, make sure they're in the right seat on the bus.
Ooh.
Because you might have them doing something that they're good at, but they could be really good in a different area in your company.
Yeah, that's true. We've had one employee here who's had four different roles. She reminded me of this yesterday in under a year. I'm like, well, we're just finding the perfect fit.
That's right. That's right. And she should consider that.
Because we know she's the perfect person.
Yes.
I think we finally nailed down the right role, which, by the way, is selling. How cool is that?
Well, see. See? So that's number one. Probably another one is, again, it goes back to don't be afraid to step outside the box and don't be afraid to hire people that are smarter than you, know more than you. Don't be afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are, whether it's the entrepreneur or the manager or the supervisor, they are so afraid because God forbid you hire somebody smarter and they take your job, which is not going to happen.
No.
See, we got to get out of ourselves. There's no I in team.
That's Jen. Right.
There's no That's I right. in team.
All right. So you're not just a great businesswoman, but you also volunteer. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So talk to us about your volunteer role and what organization it's with and all that.
You know what? So we've had different levels of experience with different organizations. And I was just thinking this week, it was either the 12th or today, the 14th. And I can't remember the exact date. My oldest son was diagnosed as a type 1 diabetic. So he was 7 years old in 2002, so 17 years ago. And at that point, we formed a relationship with the JDRF, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation here in Charlotte. We still are engaged with them. We have a wonderful relationship on the business side with the Second Harvest Food Bank. And get together every year with our HOAs in the community and do a canned food drive. And last year, I believe we set our own record and collected over 2,200 pounds of canned goods and food.
Way to go.
Yes.
So how do you feel that impacts your employees when they are involved in something like that?
Well, I think it's good on several different levels because they might not take the time to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe at Henderson Properties that in order to grow personally and professionally, that you have to give back and or you should give back and not make your life just all about you and not all about the company that you work for. Like, let's spread the joy, spread the wealth. So we do give them now. We have this VTO program, volunteer time off, Jen.
Oh, cool.
And we give our employees 1 day off a year to go and volunteer at the place of their choice. It could be their children's school. It could be wherever.
That's awesome.
And so we do that. And we just try to create different, you know, different environments and things to do to go serve. And last year, a couple of us went to the Samaritan's Purse headquarters here in Charlotte and stuffed shoe boxes to send to the kids.
Way to go.
You know, I mean, so.
Yeah.
Just try to make it fun.
For
just like
sure.
our core value.
So I have one last question.
Okay.
Being a woman in business is not always the easiest thing. And I'm wondering if you would feel okay about opening up about what that's been like. And maybe it's been perfect and easy and I'm wrong. Or maybe there have been some struggles along the way. And I'm curious if you would share them.
No, I would love to. Okay. So when Phil and I started our business, it was third quarter of 1998. So that's important for you and your listeners and viewers to know, because in 1998, for those of you that were born after that, there there was barely a cell phone. There wasn't Google. If you wanted information, you had to go to the library. In Charlotte at that particular time, so that was 21 years ago, there weren't a lot of organizations to join. But with that said, it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. It just was what it was. And that enabled Phil and I, we just went and did our thing. And there weren't a lot of female business owners, let alone females in the workplace, right? You know, 21 years ago. Certainly more so than my mother's generation. But fast forward 21 years, and there are all these outlets, which is a wonderful thing. But I also think that it might put pressure on women to even succeed more. Like, they have to succeed because I don't know. And I don't mean to sound confusing. This could be another topic, because I also grew up playing golf and played mostly with boys. Mm-hmm. So while I had a few other female golfers to play with, my life typically in athletics or business has been with men. And mm-hmm. I was okay with that.
Cool. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I never had issues. Like,
I've never had issues.
I could see other people giving me issues because mm-hmm. they thought like, oh, well, she's just a girl or whatever. And I never let that affect mm-hmm. me. But there are other people who have. So I always like to know about, you know, your story and if there was anything there.
Well, and here's the other thing. If you do, perhaps it's different if you are a business owner not with your husband. Mm-hmm. So I'm with my husband, and I'm not confident in a lot of things, but I'm very confident in the fact that I know how we got to where we are.
Yeah.
And it wasn't yeah. just because of him. And
right.
It wasn't just because of me. It was a team effort.
Yeah.
And if he were sitting here today, he would give me as much credit as credit was due.
Yeah.
So that's very important. The other thing is, I don't think if you're really good at what you do and you know what you're doing, I don't think you have to waste a lot of time proving yourself. Like, it just is going to happen.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.